Iconic wrestling coach Dan Gable once said, "Pain is nothing compared to what it feels like to quit. Give everything you've got today, for tomorrow may never come." Gable could be describing those whose achievements have earned them the honor of being inducted into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Etched in stone, the stories of wrestling's legends will take you inside the lives of over 200 of the greatest wrestlers in history as they share their never-before-told stories about their trials, tribulations, and triumphs. Competitors, coaches, teammates, and those who knew these athletes best will also weigh in on their accomplishments with their own unique perspectives. I'm Hall of Fame wrestling writer, broadcaster, and announcer Jason Bryant, and I'll be your guide through this journey of wrestling greatness. We begin our series featuring three-time NCAA champion Mark Chiarella from the University of Michigan. But first, a word from Etched in Stone creator Pat Christensen.
I am 1976, 167-pound NCAA wrestling champion Pat Christensen. I had the honor of winning my title wrestling in the same room as Lee Kemp when he won his first NCAA title. But when I won my title, he was already a runner-up and would win three more titles and three world championships. When the idea for Etched in Stone came to me, I wanted to test the waters with a couple of Hall of Fame distinguished members before committing to launch the entire series. What makes Etched in Stone unique is wrestlers are telling stories about wrestlers. The first episodes of Etched in Stone are stories about Mark Chiarella and Lee Kemp. I chose Mark and Lee because I wrestled with Lee at Wisconsin and coached with Mark at UNLV. I used my 15 years competing and relationship with Mark and Lee to give you a wrestler's perspective of these two legends. The first story in the Etched in Stone series is Mark Chiarella. You dominated a match like Mark, or came as close to winning four NCAA titles. But what you will find most rewarding about listening to his story is how he used the values passed down by his parents to have one of the most successful careers in NCAA history, and then building a successful business while passing on those same values to his children.
From 1976 to 1979, the University of Michigan's Mark Chiarella was dominant, but it was the postseason where he really shined. In four trips to the NCAA Division I Wrestling Championships, Chiarella lost just once, a quarterfinal match his freshman year. He would wrestle back for third, capping his college career with 19 consecutive victories and three NCAA individual championships.
Mark Chiarella is one of the greatest NCAA wrestlers there's ever been.
His work ethic was absurd.
I don't think there was anybody in the room that wasn't in awe of him, because he had a work ethic that was just unbelievable.
On the mat, Chiarella was tenacious, almost mean.
And I mean, there were times when I would come out of that room, my lip would be busted. I mean, that was blood everywhere.
I believe that he was one of the, if not the greatest leg guy to pin and turn and hurt people.
As a father, he preached principles that count in life, not just on the mat.
The one thing that always stuck to me from what our dad always told us was, wrestling is something that you do. It's not who you are.
He took the principles he learned in wrestling and applied them to the business world, taking an insurance company with four employees to 170.
Extremely ethical. Work ethic is unrivaled by anybody. I mean, he's just a worker, whether it's in business or whether it's working out. He's very competitive.
Mark Chiarella was raised in Farmington, a large suburb of Detroit. The middle of three kids, his father was a high school All-State football player and a Golden Gloves boxing champion.
He told me that he wanted to be three things his dad was not. He wanted to be a young dad, he wanted to be a happy dad, he wanted to be an involved dad. And his dad was none of those three things. So he said his dad didn't smile much. My dad smiles all the time. He wanted to be, you know, an involved dad. He came to every activity that any of us did. He saw all my wrestling matches, even on the road in college. I mean, they went to everything. And, you know, he was just that guy. And my mom, she was like the force behind it. She was the complete support system. You know, she made sure you had everything. She was extremely involved, and she did that for all three of her kids.
Mark Chiarella's achievements would not only make him one of the most decorated wrestlers in NCAA history, they would provide him a roadmap to success in just about every category of life.
Wrestling was what I call, a period in my life that it was like circumstance collides with happenstance. I wanted to play a sport in the seventh grade, and the only varsity sport available in the wintertime was wrestling. They didn't have football because they only had eighth and ninth grade because it was junior high. So I decided I'm going to do this wrestling thing. So I went out there, and I was absolutely horrible. Not only was I horrible, I was scared. I was unprepared. It was just a lousy experience. My wrestling coach, great guy, knew no technique, just would yell stuff at you. And I wrestled my very first match and did not understand how scoring worked. They never even explained that to me.
The experience only reinforced his notion that wrestling was not going to be his thing. But Mark Chiarella went back out for the team in eighth grade.
I went out there, and I can remember my very first match, and got pinned in the third period, but just fought this guy. You know, he just kept killing me. By the time that season was over, I'd finally won two matches out of maybe 12 matches, and I could not wait, because my destiny, I knew clearly, was to play basketball for the University of Michigan. That's what I was going to do. There was no question in my mind. Point guard, that's the direction I was going. I played basketball as a young kid. I just really thought this was what was going to happen.
Even with the late season success, Chiarella wasn't convinced wrestling was his passion and was already looking forward to hoops and pigskin.
Now, you talk about circumstance and happenstance coming together. The eighth grade starts. I'm done with wrestling. I'm not going to do this anymore. Start the basketball program. I'm playing point guard. Things are good. 3 weeks into the season, don't even have a game yet. We had a millage failure, and the millage is how they determine the taxation for schools to get funded, and it failed. So the vote was in November. It failed, and they said, we got to cut back programs. So we're not going to have a season for the eighth grade basketball this year. We're only going to have ninth grade, so no sport again. So it was like, geez, I'm going to have to do this wrestling thing again. This is horrible. But, you know, I decided that when I did it this time, I understood a little more. I was a year older. I was bigger. I weighed 132 pounds. And I ended up losing two matches and winning all the other matches. And I had decided at that point that, you know something, I think I can be really good at this sport, because it's really about the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I like the hard work. And it's always been appealing to me. Like, you know, working hard and then making things happen. And that's really where it made the difference for me. And so from that point in the eighth grade, I started doing research, you know, and trying to find wrestling stuff and figuring out who this Dan Gable guy was and, you know, trying to train like no one else trained. So that was kind of the pivotal point for me.
Mark's parents didn't push him in any direction. He found his own motivation. Mark's parents traveled to every sporting event, including wrestling matches, and during his All-State High School football career, as a gritty, undersized lineman. As a senior, Chiarella won the Lombardi Award for the best guard in the county.
I started in the eighth grade, and I played quarterback for one game, and then they told me that the line wasn't really good, so they need to move me to guard. You know, that's like the complete down. You know, you can't get a bigger downer than that. It's like the coach doesn't like you. Why would you want to play the line? That's usually the kid would quit, and I was like, well, I guess I have to become the best guard I could be. So I played guard and played it all the way through high school. I played guard and defensive end. Ended up winning the Lombardi Award in Michigan. You know, they used to give them out based on county that you're at. So, you know, I didn't have a problem tackling people or blocking people. I just, you know, wasn't big enough.
Even the toughest wrestlers get a quick break between periods. When we return, Mark takes a crash course on wrestling with Hall of Famers Dan Gable, Don Beam, and Gray Simons.
You know, if I'm wrestling two times as much as anybody else, I'm twice as good as them.
This is Lloyd Keezer, also known as Butch, a distinguished member inducted into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame in 1996. And you're listening to Etched in Stone, Stories of Wrestling Legends, a series about wrestlers, produced by wrestlers. These stories are thorough, entertaining, and compelling, with an engrossing narrative that will transform your understanding of the legend. The series will take you back to these legends' beginnings as they and those that were there for the journey share their trials and tribulations. A new episode of Etched in Stone launches every Tuesday. Don't miss a single episode as the National Wrestling Hall of Fame and USA Wrestling bring these stories to life. To take a deeper dive into these athletes' lives and download a complimentary biographical magazine of all distinguished members' stories, go to nwhof.org or make a visit to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
As far back as Chiarella could remember, his athletic path would culminate as the starting point guard for his beloved Wolverines at the University of Michigan. But now, his mind was filled with wrestling strategy and philosophy, inspired by the Dan Gable, who Chiarella's freshman year in high school won a gold medal in Munich at the 1972 Olympic Games. But in that era, there was no internet. There was no way to find new technique outside of the magazine that came in your mail monthly from Amateur Wrestling News and, of course, wrestling camps.
I went to a wrestling camp at the end of the eighth grade year. And that wrestling camp was, there was a guy, and he was a silver medalist in the 1968 games, Don Beam. And Don had this awesome fireman's carry. And Don Beam was showing me this technique for a fireman's carry. And I was like, I can do that. And he told me, so you got to practice a lot. And, you know, this thing that I know now that I didn't know then was the number of times I was practicing it is, you know, this thing about muscle memory, that there's this thought that if you do 10,000 reps, it becomes muscle memory. So between the eighth and ninth, or the ninth and 10th grade, I went to the Granby School of Wrestling. So I learned a Granby rule at the Granby School of Wrestling, and I learned a really good single leg. And the really good single leg came from a guy named Gray Simons. And I picked this stuff up. It just made sense to me. You know, I went to the camp with my brother, and the difference was he wasn't as interested, I believe, as I was.
And for those who don't know, Gray Simons was a seven-time collegiate champion at Lock Haven in Pennsylvania. He won four NAIA titles and three NCAA titles and was on two Olympic teams. But the camps were short-lived for Chiarella. He went about growing his technical acumen in a different manner. The time he'd spend cataloging the wrestling technique encyclopedia in his head was immeasurable.
I still have a notebook that I took the notes at that camp. And, you know, always had been a horrible speller. I was embarrassed that I couldn't spell well. I wrote down however I could make it work. And I still have that to this day. It was important to me because it, again, kind of sat with me about the harder you work, the luckier you get. The more you do, you know, the better your performance is. And that's the, you know, the thing I like. So those little things there, after the Granby School, I never went to a wrestling camp again. I just started to find people that I believed were really good at what they did and emulate their things that made sense to me.
More happenstance helped forge Chiarella's evolving wrestling career. In 1972, Farmington High School had an average wrestling program. After perennial powerhouse Our Lady of Sorrows, the Catholic school in town, was forced to drop its wrestling team, Farmington then became a conference contender overnight, and immediately, Mark had many more talented teammates. He also had a high school coach in Dick Cook who could provide more knowledge for Mark and add to that growing encyclopedia. Cook coached four different high schools, had three undefeated seasons, three league titles. Oh, and as a competitor, he was a 1966 NCAA champion at Michigan State.
Dick went to that same high school. He was never a state champion. But Dick was Grady Penninger's first NCAA champion at Michigan State. So he knew wrestling, and he was really good. And having a great wrestling coach makes a huge difference in the performance of an athlete. I mean, there's no comparison. And so for me to have Dick as my high school coach made all the difference in the world. I mean, for two things. One, technically, he was an outstanding leg wrestler, so he showed me stuff, which evolved for me over a period of time. But he opened a door for me that, frankly, I never knew existed before. And then he was so positive. Everything was positive from this guy. And, you know, you reinforce, you know, hard work with positive attitude, a lot of great things can happen.
After winning the spot as a sophomore, he finished third in the state, further fueling his drive. You see, Mark Chiarella did not like to lose.
Yeah, that was the one thing that, you know, back in our era, working all year round was an anomaly. You were like the different guy. If you actually trained in the summer and wrestled in the summer, even after football practice, I used to go to Schoolcraft College. They had a thing called the Michigan Wrestling Club, and I'd wrestle after football practice. I'd just gotten in as much time as I could, and I was a firm believer in, you know, if I'm wrestling two times as much as anybody else, I'm twice as good as them. And frankly, if I'm not twice as good as them, and I was only 1.5 times better than them, that's better than I was going to be without doing all that extra work.
Mark's impact on Farmington was indelible. Here's Farmington High School coach Dick Cook.
And we had a, you know, pretty decent team that year. But when Mark was on the team for those 3 years, why we never lost the league, and we were the best team in Oakland County 1 year, and also you know, in fact, Mark's year we beat everybody by 50 points. We never won the league until Mark got there, and we never lost a match while he was there. Well, I tell you what, I think from the day he went in the wrestling room, he got everybody's respect. I don't think there was anybody in the room that wasn't in awe of him, because he had a work ethic that was just unbelievable. His work ethic, I've never seen him anything like it. So I don't know, you know, whether he continued that through college or not, but his work ethic, Mark, he's a very bright guy. As a language student, he was the top in the class, straight A's, and he'd finish his work before everybody, and then before the class was over, he'd go down to the gym and do 50 pulls and 50 chins before his next class. And that's the kind of attitude he had.
As a junior in 1974, Mark knew it was his time. He had prepared. He had trained. He was ready. But wrestling is a fickle, fickle beast.
My junior year was one of those years that I really believed I had prepared and I was ready to win it. There was no question in my mind. This is the funny thing about wrestling. Actually, it ties in wrestling and business. I always remember the losses or the failures far more than the success. I can't tell you much about success. You know, the adulation of success, it just leaves so fast. But when you lose, it stays with you forever, at least me. A long time. Now, it's not something that just churns me up and kills me. But
to this day, Mark Chiarella remembers the details of that loss his junior year.
I wrestled Mark Urich in the finals. And, you know, I'm 5'8½", you know, in my prime. Mark Urich's probably 6 foot tall. Tall, skinny, 154-pounder, 155-pounders, which I was wrestling my junior year. And he took me down, and he did a move, which today is illegal, a figure four. He squashed my guts out for a minute to 2 minutes, just annihilated me. I just had nothing left. And I always believed I was in great shape. It just wasn't going to happen. And I got beat, you know, by 1 or 2 points. I can't remember exactly what the score was, but I got beat and just beat. And he just controlled the whole thing. And I was like, what the heck happened? I was angry. You know, you want to blame somebody. You got nobody to blame in wrestling but yourself. And it was one of those things that, you know, if you learn from a loss, I learned from that loss. I just learned that's not happening again.
When we return, Mark Chiarella goes to Japan and then wrestles another Hall of Famer.
I had the opportunity to wrestle some guy no one knew of, you know, with the green eyes that would stare you down from Ohio.
This is Leroy Smith, Executive Director of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, and you are listening to Etched in Stone, Stories of Our Wrestling Hall of Fame Legends. Don't miss an episode of these podcasts that bring to life our sport's most prominent heroes. To learn more and get a biographical storybook on each distinguished member's story, go to nwhof.org or make a trip to the Hall of Fame in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And remember, new episodes of Etched in Stone launches every Tuesday.
The loss ate at Chiarella, but he used it for motivation. He churned and burned for 8 months, stepping up his training. He qualified for the U.S. junior team and a cultural exchange trip in Japan and trained at an old YMCA camp in Western Michigan, something you might see out of a basic training video called Camp Echo.
It was horrible. I mean, it was barracks. It was outdoor showers. It was a lodge where they put mats down on the floor. It was some really, really crazy stuff, honestly. But it's where we trained.
In Japan, Mark's training had paid off, where he won all 9 dual meets. While on tour in the Pacific Rim, the athletes experienced 9 different towns and cities and many unique cultures. Scheduling around his trip to Japan was a trip to Iowa City for the U.S. Wrestling Federation's National Freestyle Tournament, which was quickly becoming the preeminent national high school event. As Mark noted previously, you remember the losses sometimes more than your wins. Mark remembers one opponent and one match specifically, the 154-pound Junior Freestyle National Finals in 1974.
I had the opportunity to wrestle some guy no one knew of, with the green eyes that would stare you down from Ohio. His name was Lee Kemp. Never heard of him and wasn't really impressed with the fact that, he was this guy from Ohio and won a state title. Because I was like after revenge. I just lost in my state finals and I'm going after this guy. It was a mistake on my part. He was tougher than that.
So, and
it resulted in a loss, which is why I can, tell you exactly what happened with that. The thing about Lee is that I wrestled Lee only a couple times in my career. And I never wrestled him in folk style wrestling. So never wrestled him in college, never wrestled him in high school style, which, in my heart, I believe I'm winning. All right. 100%. And freestyle, and I try to be, objective self-evaluation is an acquired skill as you get older. It should be. And I can step back and say, was Lee Kemp a better freestyle wrestler than me? Absolutely he was. He was smarter, he knew technique better, he just did things right, which he explained to me at one point. And I was like, geez, if I would have known that, I could have won. But, he beat me well. It wasn't horrible, but he beat me well.
Mark's training regimen and experience gained all over the world culminated with a state championship as a senior. His wait was over. That year, he'd go undefeated. But it was just business for Mark, and he still felt he had much to prove. There would be no celebration just yet.
I went undefeated my senior year, and I got to the state finals, and I wrestled a guy, I believe his name was Michael Evans, and did well and beat him. The match to me, again, it was like an expectation. As soon as I was done wrestling, I wanted to go out and run and go do something else and start training for the next match. That was kind of the mindset at the time.
Mark ended his high school career with a record of 123 wins to 7 defeats. His 123 wins would be a Farmington school record that stood for 21 more years. A 3-time state place winner, he was the school's second ever state champion. The success he experienced during his high school years was important to Mark Chiarella, but that only served as the foundation for the beginning of one of the best collegiate wrestling careers in history.
He's a guy who would never give up on anything, and he's also a goal setter. If he set a goal, when he started at Farmington High as a sophomore, he could do 8 chin-ups. When he left, he could do 67, so... That just tells you the kind of tenacity he had. He set a goal, and he worked towards that goal. There was a summer there where he got hurt, so he couldn't run. So he came over to my house on his bicycle with one ankle, pedaled all the way over. I was 5 miles away. I just gave you an example of that. If he couldn't work out, he'd find a way to do it. He'd always find a way to accomplish what he wanted. Look for ways to get better every day.
The influence of Dan Gable and the influence from his own family pervaded Mark Chiarella's drive and spirit.
I think that was the Gable thing. I think it was like, you know, the win is what's expected. Now you better go prepare for the next one. And you kind of look at the Iowa wrestlers, even of this generation, they run off the mat right away. They're going over there to start training and that. I think, you know, back in the day, maybe it made sense. Today, you know, you do the work, you win the match, you go back and, you know, are you going to get that much better back there running in place for 5 minutes? Maybe. I don't know. I just know that back in my era, your era, that's kind of what happened. I mean, if you were going to really do it, that's what you did.
In the next chapter of Mark Chiarella's story, he'll take us behind the scenes of the recruiting process as he makes a pretty obvious decision on where to go to college.
But Michigan was ranked number one in the country, and Michigan State was number two. And they had a great team, Michigan State did, and Michigan did as well. And I went to watch the match at Jenison Fieldhouse at Michigan State University, and there was standing room only. So the place held maybe 8,000 people, 9,000 people, and it was really quite the environment. And I watched a couple of the matches, the start of these matches, and I just liked everything about the Michigan team.
Etched in Stone is an exclusive production of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame and USA Wrestling. Download your free souvenir book of the Mark Chiarella story or any of the Etched in Stone stories produced at nwhof.org. The storybook includes the written story and is filled with pictures and videos of their live matches. This will be the first of many storybooks produced about these legends. Start your collection now, and while you're on the website, take a deeper dive into the profiles of the 179 distinguished members inducted into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. A new episode of Etched in Stone launches every Tuesday.